share a couple of things because this is family. Now, if you belong to our church, you know this is family. And if you don't, you're just learning that this is sort of family. And it's a time when maybe I can get down off my high horse or I can get out of the pulpit and sort of say, how do you do? And I thought for a minute or two I might just talk to you about something that we're trying to do. There's a couple of things that we're attempting. Now, Bob Shaw is looking after our committee of visitation. And that's a little tough because the visitation committee has been in existence for 100 years or so, but it hasn't really achieved very much until in recent months or in the last couple of years or thereabouts. And what we're trying to do is to become a little more aggressive. Now, and some people have said, well, where's the preacher? I'll tell you where he is most of the time, trying to administrate and get his sermons together. But just in case you think that perhaps he's lazy, I would like to share with you some scripture. And the scripture teaches us about this very clearly. There was a serious problem amongst the early church. Acts of the Apostles records it. And one of the reasons why we have what we call a visitation committee is because of these sort of problems. Let me read it to you. I'm using the Living Letters. I've really come down so that Alan Buer could read along with me, and he didn't bring his tonight. Why? Print has changed. With the believers multiplying rapidly, there were rumblings of discontent. Those who spoke only Greek complained that their widows were being discriminated against, that they were not being given as much food in the daily distribution as the widows who spoke Hebrew. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. We should spend our time preaching, not administrating a feeding program, they said. Now look around among yourselves, dear brothers, and select 7 men wise and full of the Holy Spirit who are well thought of by everyone, and we will put them in charge of this business. Then we can spend our time in prayer, preaching, and teaching. This sounded reasonable to the whole assembly, and they elected the following: Stephen, a man unusually full of faith and the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenius, Nicholas of Antioch, a Gentile convert to the Jewish faith who had become a Christian. These 7 were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them and laid their hands on them in blessing. God's message was preached in ever-widening circles, and the number of disciples increased vastly in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. Now there's their solution to the problem, and also the results of the solution to the problem. There was a problem. Now, we don't distribute food in the sense of food that we eat, but we distribute a lot of food that is spiritual. And sometimes we get discontent. Now, maybe you're one of those that are discontent. And I'm not trying to be accusative in any way, simply to say to you, if you would just stop for a moment and realize how much you're loved. And this committee will be phoning you. They're going through all the membership, piece by piece, one at a time, family by family. And they're going to be saying something like this: we would like to visit you. Which is the best time? Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday? And you'll be able to select the time. And it isn't because, whatever you do, don't think this, you've been a naughty person, or you've missed 3 Sundays out of 4 for the last 2 years. No such thing. It's simply because we love you and we want to be able to say to you, hey, thanks for coming. Thanks for encouraging the preacher and his sidekicks and all the other people in the church. Thank you for loving one another. And we really do mean that. And that's Bob's job. Now, Bob has just retired, so we've put him to work. And he's enthusiastic. He's doing a good job, isn't he, Alan? Well, he tells us he is anyway. And so we just want you to know that. That's one of the things that we're up to. There's a reason for it. See, we need in our assembly to know that we love one another, that your families, your children, are the concern of our prayers. Now, this whole congregation gets prayed for about every 10 days. So we go through and we pray for you. School. When things are going really hard, you can say, why isn't that preacher praying harder? And then you can pray for the preacher, and he may remember to pray a little harder. But we pray for one another. And we're endeavoring to be more conscientious than ever before, so that parents won't have problems with teens, and teens won't have problems with parents. It's a humorous and yet foolish thing, but one of the greatest difficulties we all have as teenagers is to bring up our parents the right way. They're a pain, aren't they? They simply won't change. They dig their heels in and,
this is the way it's going to be.
Miserable are parents. And I know because we had three of them. And the one at home now tells us how old we are. And we don't like her at times. So that's what's going to be happening in that area. Now, you want to know about Joe and Ruth, Portugal. And I just wrote a little splurge to you in the letter. But what happened was this. We, the board, got together. And what we do, let me tell you what we do. We look around for a man that seems as if he's the man that we need. Then we talk and we listen and we listen and we talk. And we spend a lot of time interspersing all our talking and thinking with prayer. And then, as in this case, we were able to present Joe and his wife to you. And then we sat down as a board, and lots of prayer went on. But as a board, we couldn't agree that this was the right man for the job that we had. Now remember, we look at the job and all the job description and the things that we want the man to do. And then we listen to the man and we listen to what he says he can do and how those two dovetail. Well, we decided at the end of the deacons' meeting, because we couldn't come to a decision, we would spend the rest of that week, which was Tuesday through Sunday last, we would spend that time in prayer. And we did. Every deacon agreed to spend a lot of time in prayer. At the end, we came together last Sunday earlier in the afternoon, and we again discussed, what shall we do? And we came to this conclusion. This was not the man for the job we had. And so I talked to him on the telephone, and he was disappointed. You should know that, because I believe a lot of us loved him. It was easy to love him. But we have not only to be thinking emotionally, unfortunately, we also have to be very careful, and we have to be very factual and face facts. And if the tool is in the wrong hand, the job doesn't get done. It doesn't mean that a person isn't the best person. It just means for the type of job we have, we need the right person as near as we possibly can. It's really tough to sit where we sit, sometimes having to make these decisions. They're not the easiest decisions in the world to make. But I wanted to share that with you so that you know why we did what we did. And we were agreed. You can ask any of the deacons that were there. We were absolutely agreed that the best thing for us to do was not to do it. Now, that sounds a little back to front, but that's the way it was. So we want you to know that. There's no big problems. Nobody's clawing eyes and digging teeth in or anything like that. Then I encourage you to see these two get married. Won't it be interesting? And it should be. I hear that there's been some things thought up that have never been done before at weddings. And so, just in love, let's come to that wedding. Let me sketch for you once more, because I've done it before, but some of you may not have been here. Let me sketch for you very quickly what the wedding ceremony is all about. See, it's a testimony. It's the testimony of Jesus being married to his bride. Now you know, because you're aware of the scriptures, that it was God the Father that gave to God the Son the bride. And so, coming down the aisle comes the Father and the bride. And when they get up here, the preacher says, who gives this man to be married, this woman to be married to this man? And the Father says, we're happy to, or whatever. And I do. And he gives this bride to the Son, as God the Father gave the church to the Lord Jesus as a reward for him leaving heaven and coming into the world to save the world. Now, the best man is representative of the Holy Spirit. Now, the best man is supposed to, they don't do that these days, but he is supposed to look after all the bits and pieces, making sure that everybody is here, making sure that all the bills are paid. That's a good one. You should get a best man. And making sure that everything is right. The preacher is here, and the doors are open, and so on. And all these things have to dovetail. The Holy Spirit is the one who causes everything to dovetail in the day in which we live. You see that? Now, the groomsmen, which is an Americanism, and the bridesmaids, they are there to remind us of the beautiful story that there were wise people and unwise people who heard and were prepared, and who heard and were unprepared. And the story quickly is this, that there were 10 young women who were prepared and those that were unprepared. What they did was they had their lamps filled with oil and they burned them. And then when they said the bridegroom was coming, they said, wait a minute, we've got to go down to the local store and get some more oil. So they took off to get oil for their lamps. But the wise young women said, we're ready, we didn't burn our lights. And they lit up their lights, and with the bride and the bridegroom, they went into the reception, and there was so many jollifications going on in the reception, and they were included. The door was shut. Not long after it was shut, the unwise ladies that had gone off to get their lamps oil, they came trucking along, bashed on the door, and the fellow opened the little peephole. Who are you? Well, we're the characters that had burned up all our oil. I don't know who you are. Well, we're nice people. We were the bridesmaids. We were waiting, but we burned our oil up, and so we weren't prepared in our waiting, but we've now come. And the fellow makes an inquiry in the reception, and then he goes back and says, I'm so sorry, we don't even know who you are. You can't come in. There is the gospel being presented up here on the platform. Then the congregation have to watch all of this. The congregation represent the whole world, because when Jesus is married to his bride, the church, the whole world is going to know about it. And the congregation recognize that this is a testimony that we shall go through the pageant of on Saturday, that the world will know when Jesus and the bride, the church, are married. Oh, then there's the organist and the pianist and the soloist. That's all very scriptural. There will be the shout of the archangel, the soloist, and the trumpet shall sound, the instruments. Oh, I forgot somebody, the preacher. I mustn't forget him. Well, he's important because he represents, with the open word of God, the free grace of God. So on Saturday, when you all get here at 10 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the evening, when you all arrive, that's what you'll see. It's a pageant, purely a pageant, and you will see it. But if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, one day you're going to be presented to him as his bride, and you're going to see it for real. Isn't that beautiful? That's what a wedding ceremony is all about. And I hope that you'll be able to fellowship with us at that wedding. Make it a testimony, a part from the naughty things that one or two of you might possibly get involved in. They say that Rich is going to be left at home chained with the dog. If he's not left at home chained with the dog, he'll certainly be in the doghouse afterwards. Is that right, Rich? Now we're going to sing a hymn. The hymn is 118. 118. It's a beautiful song. Let's stand and sing it. It's so lovely. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died.